No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so Keith and Ed are in the studio with me. We hope to be joined by AOPA's Tom Haynes here in just a bit. Dennis, our, he's like a Just Plane Radio super fan or like a full-time passenger. He might join us as well.
Okay,
we haven't come up with an official title for him, but he's starting to turn into a...
A regular.
A chronic. A regular. Yeah, that's probably
regular,
more...
Just Plane Radio perfection. Regular.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Would be a more appropriate term.
You think so? That's more out of an affectionate way to describe him.
Wouldn't it be a groupie?
A groupie. I kind of like that idea. We have our, well, actually, he's a middle-aged guy. So maybe not so much the kind of groupie that I would picture us having.
That's not the kind I want to have.
Well, that's my point. Okay, anyway, moving on. We'll see if they join us, or at this point, I'm sure they will make sure they don't. But that could happen. It may not in a matter of moments. And one of the things we're going to talk about is third-class medical, because some big news happened in that regard.
The big news.
Yes.
Today.
It's official. And we'll get into that in a little bit, because I know Tom has... Some inside scoops and things like that to share with us in that regard. So we'll get into that in just a bit. So first, we're going to kick off the show by talking about something I read that, as me as a perpetual flight student in training, need to ask my flight instructors, which would be Ed and Keith.
Flight student in training?
A perpetual flight student in training, yes.
That means you actually have to go to the airport.
No, it doesn't. Yeah,
I've not known anybody to learn how to fly without actually going to the airport.
I got a flight simulator right here. See it? Look at this. You see this dusty thing over here? Anyway, moving on.
It's not going the direction he wants, so he's changing the direction.
Exactly. All right, so I get this article, and it talks about deviations. You know, and
ouch.
Yeah, and, you know, we have to make them as pilots at some point or another, but there may be a situation where you're flying your plane around and you make a deviation and, I don't know, maybe you make a mistake. Is it possible you deviated and you made a mistake and didn't know it?
Well, that's not the kind of deviation they're talking about.
What kind of deviation are they talking about? Because he makes it sound like hey, you could be flying around and you have no idea you did anything wrong, and then all of a sudden you get a letter from the FAA. Or a examiner calls you up out of the blue and says, hey, dude, what's up, man?
Yeah, and they call it a pilot deviation, but it's not in the same terms as like when you learn cross countries and you were taught deviation to go to another airport.
There's two types of deviations you're telling me now?
No, actually, there are three.
Oh, really?
There's also a deviation in your compass, which you should also remember in your cross country planning.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Of course I do.
Yeah.
Anyway. Bovine scatology.
Okay.
So did he say what this deviation was for?
Well, he is just pointing out the fact that you could get this letter or call out of the blue and not have any idea that you did something wrong, and you better be on your toes to be able to handle it properly. Because if you answer with, I don't recall, or I don't know what you're talking about, or, hey, I'm not going to accept your Webster's Dictionary sales pitch. Goodbye.
Okay, so a deviation is that something did not go the way it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
Like with air traffic control, you might be land in an airport, pull off, and ground controller say, advise when ready to copy a phone number, and we need you to have you call for a possible pilot deviation.
Okay.
And that means that, you know, I guess you could say it's similar to you might be getting a ticket. It might be a warning. It might be a ticket. But basically, something was not done properly and you're getting turned in.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, those don't happen out of the blue?
No.
Typically, they wouldn't. You would know that you had screwed up.
Right.
Like 733 Charlie Mike, we just had a Charlie Foxtrot. Who do I got to call?
Well, here's the thing. Now, we were talking about Dennis's story from the other day about the airplane taking off with the tow bar still attached.
Right. That would be one, wouldn't it?
Well, and so now the tower has to report that incident.
Yeah.
And so in that instance, that pilot would get a call, and it would be a situation where, okay, that could be a deviation that could result in some type of enforcement action.
But the pilot knew about it.
But the pilot knew about it.
Yeah. And that's the way it happens most of the time. It could be an altitude deviation. Keep in mind, if you're on flight following.
Right.
Or if you are on an instrument flight plan, 300 feet. If you're off your altitude by 300 feet, that's a deviation.
Yeah.
And ATC will violate you for that.
Okay. But they usually tell you that at the time, wouldn't they?
No, they will not.
They won't tell you.
They will not tell you.
So the only way you would know is if
Because you were off 300 feet. You didn't control your altitude.
Right.
So you're going to know about it.
Yep. Or if you get too close to airspace.
Right.
You know, Washington, D.C., a lot of airspace up there that's restricted. Even coming in on some of the approaches going into Reagan Airport up there, the airlines have gotten a number of deviations, and they don't tell you about them. But if your wingtip scrapes it, you're getting a deviation.
Okay, a deviation or a ticket is kind of what it sounds like to me.
Well, yeah.
Deviation is the warning, or is it
no,
the
ticket? No, that's if you do it, if it's willful,
yeah.
And they're going to investigate it.
Yeah.
If it's willful, then, yeah, you're going to get in trouble for it.
Okay, so the deviation is the start in the investigation process.
Right.
And you'll get a letter notifying you're being investigated. Now, this is what the Pilot's Bill of Rights is all about, is you are signifying that you understand if you deviate from the norm that you may be investigated by the FAA to look for possible enforcement action.
Okay. So what's the proper way to handle that then? Say if you violated or you had a deviation and you didn't really realize it at the time, and then you get this letter from out of the blue, you know, several months later. That's what they're saying this could happen because they're so backlogged on this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, you know, courtrooms and things, it sounds like to me. And finally, when they get around to enforcing anything, they're like, oh, man, I don't remember that. I got to go back to my log and figure out, oh, what was it?
So it is my opinion in this particular case.
Yeah.
We know what you say about opinions, but.
Yes. Yeah. That, number one, the pilot should be paying attention.
Right.
And so you shouldn't have a situation where, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have known in advance or when it happened that you made you screwed up. And you better be proactive on covering your tracks.
Exactly. And right, so what you do is you fill out a NASA form.
Right.
And that's basically voluntarily reporting the situation that occurred, the details that surrounded it.
And be truthful. Send it in.
So and a NASA form is one of those forms you fill out about the deviation that occurred.
Yes. The pilot does.
It's like if I'm guilty, I agree to go to space.
No, NASA just administers it for.
Yes.
Oh, is that what it is?
NTSB. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they take it and they dename it. What do you call that? De-identify.
Yeah. They take your personal information out of it and throw it in the database.
Okay. So just so they can track this kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And so they track a database because NASA uses all that stuff for their human factors studies that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use all of that stuff. So if you have filed a NASA report, you're not going to get in near as much trouble.
Okay. Because you've been proactive. You admitted you made a mistake. Or whatever,
that is
or here
correct.
Are the reasons why it happened,
yep.
And
yep.
You've kind of headed off the investigation from the get-go.
That's correct.
But
and the FAA will check that file to see if there is a report filed or not.
Right. Yep. And if they see a deviation without any file, then they go like, hey, we're going to go after this person.
That's
potentially
correct.
Well, now, if you did get a notification of this, a phone call or the letter, once again, we go back to there is nothing worse to do than trying
deny,
to cover
deny,
it up
deny,
deny, deny, deny. Don't ever do that.
Don't deny. Just admit there. I might have had a problem, and then what? Call AOPA, I bet, right?
If they're an AOPA member, yes. Call AOPA and get their legal team
services
involved.
Yeah. If you have the legal service plan, which I strongly recommend you get.
Mm-hmm. If not, call an aviation attorney.
Exactly.
And let them help you.
Yeah. Okay. Because the bottom line is you'll make it worse by trying to cover something up or not be truthful about something. And I can tell you many, many stories about pilots that have had an error and damaged an airplane and weren't truthful about it and were most of their pilot certificates were removed.
Will they give you any credit?
Attitude.
But yes, no credit sir, no, for sir. Even a creative excuse?
Nope.
Nope.
Dealing with the government here.
No sense of humor.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So I get off the plane and I forgot to undo my seatbelt, and I'm pulling the plane through the terminal. And the wings are knocking people over. And then I almost broke both my arms trying to hold open a revolving door for a woman.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And we are actually joined by Dennis. He has figured out a way to connect with us. Dennis, where are you at exactly?
I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport at the Delta Sky Club.
Okay, were you? Did you get deviated to Dallas? Well, it's not the same type of deviation.
That's right. It's not the same type of deviation. Totally
no, I actually chose to come here.
You chose to go to Dallas. Versus Minnesota, because it's what? The difference between heaven and hell, I believe, isn't it?
Close.
The
temperature
change.
Difference, at least. Yeah. Unless hell froze over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on in Minnesota. But so
you think you'd learn by now that it does that every year at this time.
Yeah, yeah. I have no sympathy for them.
You have no sympathy?
No.
Well, I don't know. Dallas, but you're in the Sky Club, the Delta Sky Club in Dallas?
Yep.
Okay.
Are they serving
drinks? Yeah, it's a nice little quiet spot. They've always got free drinks.
Here. Yeah. Hey. Delta Sky Clubs are pretty swanky.
Cool.
They got these little cookie things. Have you had some of the cookies?
Well, they
he's had the high quality stuff. He forget the cookies. He went straight for the booze.
We don't want to, you know, we don't want to soak up the high quality stuff.
Yes, understood. Yes, you don't want to water it down or weaken it in any way. Okay, no, so
kind of sound like Jerry the diver guy here, you know, with a drink in front of me.
Yes, he's not a pilot, so that's, you know, he drinks. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And evidently that's what Dennis is doing. You're not flying. You're a passenger.
No, I'm riding in the back of the bus today.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, what are you doing over there? What are you doing in the Delta Sky Club?
Well, I had a business meeting with a customer, and so now I'm on my way back to the Minnesota. So I've been leaving 80-degree, beautiful, sunny weather here in Texas to heading back to sub-zero in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Probably
no
a little touched in
sympathy,
the head.
No sympathy. No sympathy.
What do you mean, no sympathy? He's going back to where hell froze over, Minnesota.
Give him, but he chooses to live there.
Yeah.
Well, so I still pity him.
Okay. Pity is different than sympathy.
Okay. All right, well, I guess that's the best you're going to get. So, all right.
It's in the dictionary, right?
I'm just trying to save the last few moments in luxury there in Dallas before you have to head to the Great White North. Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. All right. I mean, why didn't you fly your own plane? Why didn't you fly your little
Cessna? It's too cold.
Well,
heater doesn't work that good.
Actually, that would have been a problem getting out. I actually spent about 4 or 5 hours in the terminal waiting for the flight to get out. We had a really nasty snowstorm with ice before that, so it was a little challenging to get out of town.
Yeah.
But my employer has a policy of not allowing private aviation for business purposes, which
Ooh.
Really sucks.
Why is that? What kind of policy is that? If somebody's not
It's a corporate cover your butt policy.
Yeah.
If they were to say that you could take your own airplane and use it to run to business meetings and something were to happen, they think that the risk is higher. Exactly.
Well, that's what your personal flight insurance is for, isn't it?
No. Exactly. But unfortunately, lawyers get involved in
deepest pockets.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you just tell them.
So only the CEO is allowed to fly on a privately owned aircraft, and it's his privately owned aircraft.
Now, what if you just said, I'm going to fly Delta, but it's D-I-L-T-A. Dennis's Delta. Is it Delta? Or
well, I don't get reimbursed Delta. For it then because I have to run the credit card charges have to be booked through our service and all that.
Oh, there's some
stuff,
people in India that can fix that for you.
Well, exactly.
I'm sure.
Yeah, haven't you been watching the news? Too? Just make a call to Russia. They'll take care of it for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Dennis, savor the time. I mean, I can't think of a better time to kick back and hang with us on Just Plane Radio than in the Delta Sky Club, which is probably how most of the people listen to this show.
A tree stand's not bad.
Yeah.
A tree stand?
He's called in from a tree
Waiting
stand.
For Bambi.
Oh, okay. That's true. We are trying to kill Rudolph. He was doing that a few weeks. I thought you were talking like a Christmas tree stand or something, which you could listen there, too, during the holidays, but yeah.
Yep, there's a real man for you.
Yeah.
I don't
should have called in from the Christmas tree lot, right?
There you go.
Selling trees. What size balsam or Fraser do you want?
Well, tell me this, Dennis. Do you have a tendency to rate your pilot there at Delta when he was flying you back and forth?
I actually do.
Yeah.
I keep my iPad on the entire flight with the GPS that's built into the iPad. The thing is rock solid. Doesn't matter if I'm a window or an aisle seat. I can keep the GPS locked the whole time. So I'm looking to see where our routing is taking us, which has been a lot more fun since I had an instrument rating. I understand, you know, why they're routing here and trying to see how they're setting up for the approaches and things like that.
Right.
When it comes time to land, do we land or get shot down? Which was the choice?
Get shot down. What do you mean, shot down?
Well, you land so hard it feels like you got shot down instead of just a nice gentle landing.
Ah, so do you just turn to the stewardess and say, man, our pilot sucks. I could have done way better.
You don't have to tell the flight attendant.
It's more fun to go up
and land hard like that.
Flight attendants know.
They get it.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
they'll even comment to the cockpit, too, won't they?
Like, thanks for that. I just broke a vertebrae, Bob. Or something. You know, do they get that, Keith? You guys?
Oh, yeah.
When you were flying commercial, you get that from the stewardess, a little lip service like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, you're a world-class pilot. You never had those kind of hard landings. That would never happen.
It was always
to you.
His first officer.
It was my first officer landing.
Is that what it was?
And trust me, the flight attendants know that, too.
Is the standard response like, oh, yeah, I'm training the new guy? And you look at the guy next to you? Is that what you do?
Yeah, the flight attendants, unless they're brand new, the flight attendants pick it up pretty quick, and they can tell who's flying and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And they know who to stay away from.
Well, they can't stay away from them. They just brace themselves for impact. Is that what it is?
Oh, no. They'll bid around that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. So there's no signal. I mean, look at their facial expressions like, all right, here we're coming in. And you just look at their face like, this is going to be a rough one. I know.
No, they're professionals. They're not going to show any fear.
They're like poker players. They can hide their facial expression from
unsuspecting but then in the van ride back to the hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Get ready.
They're smacking them around?
Hey, Captain Crunch, nice landing.
Nice. So you're tracking your flight there on your iPad. Are you chair flying, too, and looking a little weird to the person next to you, or what?
No, I don't want to be like you, Greg.
What do you mean? That's what Ed told
I've heard
me to
you,
do.
You had your flight simulator fired up in there and are trying to fly
I've been trying to convince him to take the yoke out and put it on the table in front of him and fly the flight sim.
What, while we're doing the radio show? I can't do two things at once.
In an airplane, in the back of the airplane. See
well,
what
take
people
the,
say.
Take
I, want,
the
I want to be videoing you from like five rows back.
See do that. Just be going,
I could just see it now.
Let's see
ladies
what
and gentlemen, we need you to return your seat backs and tray tables to their full and upright position. But I gotta land the plane.
Yeah.
Here's Greg with his little yoke.
A passenger today on flight Delta Flight 172 was escorted off the plane as he tried to fly the plane from row 23D.
And
hacked into the entertainment system.
Yes.
And he will be evaluated by the psychiatrist.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Dennis, sitting back in the Delta Sky Terminal or Sky Club, and kicking back, having a cocktail, peanuts, one of those biscotti things, or what? God knows what. But he's hanging out. But we're joined by Tom Haynes from AOPA as well now. Tom, how are you? Welcome.
Hey, guys. I'm great. Having a good week for General Aviation.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're here with the good news. He brings the good news. He's like a disciple of great pilot knowledge and stuff. Because third-class medical finally officially approved. Is that right, Tom?
Help That's right. We have regulatory guidance out now based on the legislation that passed this summer. We have the FAA issued regulations this week that pretty well matched the statutory language that Congress put out over the summer and the president signed. So it was great news.
Yep. Good news for sure.
Yep. And, I read it today myself.
Yeah. So we got to go over what this means exactly. But obviously it's another excuse for a pilot party. Am I right, Tom, at the bare
absolutely.
Minimum?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And, of course, that's a fairly low threshold.
But, true.
But this is a reason for a good big party.
Exactly. Was there any surprises in this new announcement that, from your perspective, what do you think?
Well, I think the surprise was that there were no surprises. I think there are some people we'd had, we did not get advanced look at it, neither did anybody else. The FAA kept it very close, but I just based on the kind of whatever signals we could pick up was that the FAA seemed intent on putting together a regulation that really did mirror the statutory language that Congress passed in the summer. And so we were pleasantly surprised that that's the way it worked out. The other thing is pleasantly surprised that it only took them 6 months to do it, and they actually issued the regulations a couple of days ahead of the 180-day deadline that they were required to have, and then arguably they had another 6 months to implement, in which case – they are taking advantage of some of that, and that the regulation doesn't become effective till May 1st.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I wonder if this inauguration thing coming up had put a little fire under their arses. You know what I'm saying? But we'll talk more about it next. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly it in the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative. And it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a big jet plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com. Also, Dennis, who's hanging out in the Delta Sky Club in Dallas today. If you want to go over there and look for him and spill your drink on him, go for it. Or he'll buy you a drink because they're free, I think. Something like that. Also, from AOPA, Tom Haynes is with us. We're reflecting on the big news this week on Third Class Medical. It seems like we've been talking about this forever. But it finally is official, May 1st. Tom, is the when this goes into effect. Is that right?
That's correct. At that point, if you fit the criteria and are willing to fly the type of airplanes with the limitations that are there from an aviation standpoint, aircraft standpoint, then, yeah, you can take advantage of flying without a third-class medical certificate. A couple things you got to do, though, is have a every 4 years, you have to go visit your personal physician and get an exam, of which the FAA is producing a checklist of things that you have to go over with the doctor. He has to sign the fact that you went over it, and you have to put that in your logbook. Nothing reported to the FAA. There's no fail opportunity here.
Ah, nice.
And then the other part is doctors feel a little better about signing it too.
I'm sure that is the case. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questions about, doctors and their willingness to sign this kind of form, but we've actually surveyed quite a few and have already begun preparing materials to help educate doctors. But, they sign a lot of forms like this already for kids in sports medicine work-related things.
Yeah,
but there's no
Boy
fail.
Scouts, we had to have extra medical checks done, and, because we're going to be gone for 2 weeks and and the doctor, where they routinely sign that stuff off.
Right. So it's kind of like a physician's permission slip to fly.
Yeah.
Is that it? So it's up to the physician to determine if he sees something that he thinks would keep the person from flying. Can he say, no, I don't want to sign this? Or how does this work exactly? Do we know, Tom?
Well, of course, he has that prerogative not to sign it if he feels that the pilot is not
crazy
capable. Capable of flying, but basically, as long as the checklist is very similar to what the form we fill out now for their class medical and what it is the doctors are supposed to check for now, and as long as your personal physician looks at those things and feels like you're healthy based on what's on the checklist, there wouldn't be any reason that he wouldn't sign it.
Okay. So if you have, your physician says you have high cholesterol or something like that, and you're treating it with some statins or whatever, do you still have to do all that stuff with the FAA? Or
well, as long as the medication is on the approved drug list, then there should be no problem. If there is a particular, there are three or four different things. Cardiac is one of them, I recall, and kind of a mental issue, certain mental issues that if you're diagnosed with those, then you do have to go through some more hoops, get a special issuance one time.
No, wait. When you said the mental thing, both Ed and Keith looked at each other and said, uh-oh.
And we're like, Greg, there are two strikes against you.
Well, yeah, really. Mental and cardiac. I think there's a picture of you up on the FAA wall somewhere in the room where they drafted this.
No, that's not the FAA. That's the post office.
That's the post office.
Regardless, okay, they've just broken down a lot of the walls, a lot of the red tape, or just the uncertainty
of having to go through this process is kind of a pain in the butt, because little minor things, you know, hey, he's got a cold or whatever. I don't know. I mean, well, and going to your doctor and having them have to do all this stuff, and then you have to send all this extra paperwork into the FAA.
Yeah, I mean, what you're about to go through, because you, and from what I can read, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to still have to go through that special issuance process because of the surgery and the bypass.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I had open heart surgery. Yeah.
So you're going to have to jump through those hoops. But in the past, you'd have to jump through those hoops every year.
Right. Right. Now I should be just maybe what? Every 4 years.
I believe. Well,
me, not really, it's only different.
Once. Only once with special issuance, from what I can read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as long as you're going to your cardiologist and everything's running fine, mm-hmm. and you're going to the doctor every 4 years.
I'm paying off the right people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you would normally do to stay healthy.
Right.
As long as you're doing that, and they say you're still good to go, and they're signing off on that form every 4 years, then you'll be fine. So the big thing is, you're not going to be going through this extra expense and this extra hassle annually. And that's what would happen even with a third-class medical. It used to be, if you had a heart issue, they'd be having you go through that medical exam and providing all this document every year.
Mm-hmm. And so, costing pilots thousands of dollars a year for these additional tests that frequently their cardiologist would say, you don't need that test, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't need that stress test every year because,
and then your insurance company's not paying,
right? Yeah, and so now you got to pay for yourself to satisfy the FAA, some doctor in Oklahoma City that you've never met. So,
not a fan of that.
Really, really makes a lot of sense on a lot of level. The other thing you've got to do is every 2 years take an online course, which AOPA has already created. Haven't been able to release it yet because we're waiting on a couple of checkbacks from the FAA. But he'll take this course every two years. Print these completion certificate out and put it also in your logbook with the checklist from your doctor, and that's it. Good to go.
Yeah, and
I won't be able to do this.
Why won't you do this?
Well, I know.
What's wrong?
No, we can't do this.
Yes.
Why can't you?
I don't have a logbook.
Yes, it's like is there a place in ForeFlight's digital logbook to store this now?
Actually, that's come up, and yes, and the fact that it can be saved as a PDF, and stored in there just like any other document. You can store other documents in ForeFlight and the other programs, and so yes, you can do that, and yes, that satisfies the FAA.
Well, there you go. We just got to get Keith brought up to 90s technology, and we'll be good to go.
But in all honesty, Greg, it doesn't apply to us at all, anyhow, because we're one of the exclusions because we work for hire. Even as an instructor, technically all I need is a third-class medical. I still have to have a third-class medical to be pilot command and give flight instruction. And now, as a commercial pilot getting paid to fly somebody's airplane, I need at least a second class. And then if I was to exercise my ATP for an air carrier, I would have to have a valid first class. So it doesn't help us any. And that's what I think Tom was alluding to. There are restrictions to this.
Yeah. Well, it's for schlubs like me that are just trying to learn how to fly and don't need all that extra red tape. You know, I remember when I did my first medical, I was like, why did I do this? I just had a physical like a month before, and I had to go pay another $150 to go have the guy kick me in the shin.
That's not changed.
Okay. Well, you still have to do it. But
Initially,
I had to do it every 2 years, right?
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is when a customer comes wanting to learn how to fly, they're still going to have to go and go through the third-class medical process and be issued one once.
Right.
So it's not gone. It's just they get one once, and then they go through the process that we just talked about to maintain their flying privileges after that.
Now, before, Tom, help me out here. Before I had my little open-heart surgery issue, I actually got my physical. I had just got my physical, so I made sure I was within the two-year window. So I had fall under that third-class medical. Of course, if I would not have had that issue, I wouldn't have to go back to the doctor under this, right? Because it'd still be good through May 1st.
Anybody who's had a valid medical certificate since July 15th, 2006, would be good to go if they didn't have any other complicating factors, which you happen to have.
Yeah.
So because you fall into that cardiac category, then you've got to go get the special issuance one time, as opposed to, like Ed said, you know, having to do it maybe five times under the old process.
Yeah, but I still plan on joining that, that AOPA thing. where they helped me out
get
through that first one.
Fill out the paperwork. Program.
Yes, exactly. So we'll cover that extensively over the next few weeks when I travel down that road here. I actually am officially cleared February 1st, by the way.
Oh, excellent.
Cool. Yeah.
Good job.
So, we'll see how that goes.
There are some other restrictions that that we need to discuss, too. So, there's an aircraft restriction. You cannot fly without the third-class medical, doing the basic med certification in an aircraft carrying more than six passengers. Or in an aircraft weighing more than 6,000 pounds.
Okay. Well, Dennis was just wondering right now, I think, sitting in the Dallas Sky Club, if he could just fly the plane himself. And now he's like, "Doh!" Is that right, Dennis?
They put a door. They'll put those heavy doors on the front of the cockpit, so I'm not going to get into the CRJ.
Well, you could give it a go and make a great news story.
Well, then I'd be escorted off the plane very quickly.
Hey, that's radio gold, Dennis. Come on. Where's your dedication?
That brings up the whole mental illness thing, and then there you go, right?
Yeah.
You forget people have heard this show before. They've stuck with us this long. They already know we have issues. But it's all good. And you know, the idea here is to make aviation more accessible to the masses. And this is a great step in the right direction. Are you with me, guys?
Yep.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And we'll talk more about it next right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Scuba diving is an activity for all ages. However, immersion alone can be a stressor on the heart and circulatory system. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to stay heart healthy as you dive next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN. Your Dive Safety Association.
Nearly one-third of diving fatalities are associated with an acute cardiac event. Maintain your healthy heart with proper diet and exercise. Monitoring your blood pressure, glucose, and cholesterol levels and adhering to any treatment measures prescribed by your physician is crucial. Even if you've had an event, like myself, after some time and clearance from a physician, you can still safely dive. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ned and Captain Keith. Also, Dennis is hanging out at the Sky Club in Dallas right now. And then Tom Haynes from AOPA is with us to boot. So we're all excited, celebrating the official launch of third-class medical going into effect May 1st, 2017.
You know, it's a good thing. Now, Ed was saying during the commercial break, however, there's one other roadblock that applies only to me.
Is no, it doesn't apply only to you.
Okay, good.
But the way it's written is the not having the medical certificate and flying on this alternative format is only authorized within the United States.
So if I want to go to the Bahamas, I can't use
You'll have
that?
To have a third-class medical.
Mm. Unless we can convince the Bahamian government and the Canadians and the Mexicans to allow it.
Because
that's...
I bet
that's really not a prohibition of the U.S. That's just the fact that other countries don't yet recognize this basic med as a viable means of flying.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm sure the first ones to accept it will be the Bahamians because they already allow, even though light sports aren't certified anywhere else in the world, they recognize them, and you can fly your light sport to the Bahamas. So and light sport pilots have no medical, so I'm sure they'll jump on quick.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to scare you just a little bit.
Well, that
your main
scare
dream
me.
Of flying.
I have a lot of friends.
You may still have to go through that medical.
I have a lot of friends out through the Caribbean. I know they have no laws and rules and things. They don't worry about those type of things. So,
that a 20 can't
take
care of.
It only matters if you get caught anyway.
Hey, that's good point, Keith. Thanks for pointing that
Here
out.
Here comes that deviation. Didn't we just start the show there?
Just file a NASA form then as soon as you get done.
That's right. Exactly. I like it.
When's the last time somebody checked your medical when you went into the Bahamas?
No, exactly.
Let alone your radio telephone operator license.
Right. It's like, your what?
Get that rum on.
All they want is the money for the customs.
Yes.
All you do is
tip them. You want to see my medical? Okay, yeah, you take out a couple 20s with it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You got good medical.
You're good, man. Welcome.
No problem, man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, a couple other little tidbits we have to share. Before we wrap things up today, actually, over the holidays, Ed, you saw a movie that you say was the basis for Airplane?
Yeah, well, actually, it was a post on Facebook one of my airline friends put out there, and it's called Zero Hour. And I watched a little clip from it, and it is literally line for line almost identical to the movie Airplane.
What?
And I mean, even like the line of, do you want the chicken or the fish? I had the fish. I had the meat, etc.
I picked a bad day to stop taking amphetamines.
Well, it picked a bad day to smoke. All the rest of the stuff was added. But that exact same line was in there. And so I was watching this. I'm like, it's hilarious. And it's supposed to be a drama. It's hilarious, though, because you hear every line from that movie. Even the guy that comes up and flies the airplane, his name is Ted Stryker.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I had no idea that Airplane was based on
it. It's all in the inflection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just listening and watching it was. I've got to get the whole movie, and I gotta have once again another excuse for a pilot party.
Yes.
Well, put it on the big screen, and maybe a few cocktails involved.
It'd be like the Rocky Horror Picture Show for aviators.
There you go.
There you go, Dennis. There's your ticket into the cockpit tonight.
That's right. Well, I'll come in costume.
Yeah, 0 hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, so ask for that for the in-flight entertainment on your flight from Dallas back to Minnesota.
Ted Stryker.
Okay. Then the other
autopilot.
Yes. Yeah. The other interesting little tidbit.
Dress up as the nun.
Stop
calling me Shirley.
We mentioned this a few weeks ago.
Oh, we're going downhill like this.
You've lost control, Greg.
No.
He never had control.
Greg, have you ever been in a men's gym before?
Oh, quit it. Have you ever seen a grown man naked? All right, see, we're never going to get anything done if we keep down this path. Now, let's move over to this Skycatcher thing. We mentioned this on the show a few months ago, or they announced that they were going to trash all the planes that they didn't sell. Is that what happened, Tom? Or what's going on with the Skycatcher?
No, they didn't really announce it. They just did it.
They just did it?
Yeah, there was this terrible pictures on Facebook and internet in general of them lifting up these poor, helpless Skycatchers and throwing them into a dumpster and crushing them. It was painful.
I have not seen the video, so the video's out there now of this going on.
Yeah, and Cessna was really upset that it got leaked.
I was going to say,
it doesn't
sound like a PR move that went properly.
Well, Scott Ernst said there was no future, and he wasn't lying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So they put
he knew more
like
than we did.
A car crusher kind of thing, and you see these beautiful airplanes just being crushed down to a block of aluminum.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would call it a beautiful airplane.
Right.
Well, it's a fun airplane. You wouldn't know. You've never flown.
How many did they trash? Do we know? How many they had?
They had about 60 or 70 left over.
Oh, man.
And they appeared to have the engines still on them, which is mystifying. Why would you at least take the engines off?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So you could sell those wholesale or, you know, just whole stock.
That makes no sense.
Again, it comes back to it's probably liability. They didn't want to deal with, having an engine that's been in storage for how many years since they stopped selling them. But it still seems like a waste.
Well, and, you know, they did something similar to the Corvallis airplanes. They had 14 of them that had a wing lamination problem from the manufacturing process. And I was out there in Independence picking up an airplane, and I saw them sitting in behind the hangar, and I'm like, you know what you guys need to do is you need to cut the wings off, cut the tail off, take the engine components, all that stuff, but leave the avionics in and sell it to Frasca or another sim manufacturer. They would love to get their hands on that cockpit and build a simulator based on it.
Yeah.
Nope, they destroyed them all.
I would love to get my hands on one to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got people
great in my basement.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. You got people turning airplanes into little campsite hotel things and restaurants and all kinds of stuff. I can't believe they did that.
I hope they kept some of the parts.
Yeah.
Beechcraft did the same thing, though, to their Starship years ago, too.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Okay. Well, it's cool to crush stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I hate to see that happen to an airplane. And on that disturbing note, we'll have to end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.